Welcome to Kind of Funny's The Mandalorian in review. Just like we did with Game of Thrones final season in review, we're going to be reviewing every episode in season one of The Mandalorian.
Is it? Did you, all eight of them. Did you hide the Watto mask somewhere? Oh, is that what you're laughing about?
No, Watto won't be making an appearance in this. It'd be silly.
It would be silly.
You didn't call him, or he's just busy? What's going on?
It's just that some people can't do it. And when I mean some people, I mean everybody but me. You know what I mean, Andy?
Well, you're really pulling down the fourth wall.
It's a brand new day here. It's the Mandalorian, all right? Let's just put it all the cards on the table. Clearly, this guy, Boba Fett's grandson, all right? We're all set on that? Good. Locked and loaded. That's the show. Let's get on to the rest of it.
Greg Miller has cracked the case, ladies and gentlemen. Boba Fett's grandson. All right.
What's his name?
Tim Geddes. This is Andy Cortez. That's Kevin Coelho. We got Greg Miller here, great. And Nick Scarpino rounding out the table. Like I said, we're going to be reviewing every episode of The Mandalorian. This is going to be concurrently with Star Wars in review. We're going to continue that as well. This first week, since there are two episodes of Mandalorian, we're doing Mandalorian today. And then on Friday, we'll be doing episode two. Next week, we will return with Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, and then episode three of The Mandalorian, and so forth till the end of the year. You can get the show live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, or you can watch it later on youtube.com/kindoffunny, roosterteeth.com, or search for Kind of Funny Reviews on your favorite podcast service. You can get the show ad-free by going to patreon.com/kindoffunny, just like Al Tribesman did, our Patreon producer.
The Lone Hunter.
He's out there. He's part of his little bounty hunter.
Solo spinoff movie over here.
His Al Solo Tribesman.
Yeah, he's hunting down that blue alien from the beginning.
To get the milk out of him, just turn him upside down and juice him.
Jesus.
No, I'm the Glenn in this show.
Oh, the Mandalorian. Yeah, I blocked that guy out of my brain because he was like the worst part of this episode.
This is the first day of the rest of our lives in a Disney Plus life.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's a whole new future, bright future. They launched last night. On pretty much every device known to mankind, unless you're in Europe, and then
you had
you're
to
kind
look
of
it.
Out of luck.
Yeah, you had to go to your local time. Circuit City to watch it.
Yeah,
and we all thought the same.
I don't know what that'll help at all.
But I just think like it's the banks of TVs. It was always so cool to watch one thing on 50 different TVs.
Yeah, it was cool.
You're like it's bright.
We all thought the same thing. We all turned on the Disney Plus app and we all went McClunky, right?
I have no idea what that joke is from today. It was very confusing. I saw it making the rounds, and I was like, is it something to do with Greedo?
A New Hope got released today, right, along with all the Star Wars movies.
Sure.
And there's been a new scene added, a new bit of dialogue added to the Greedo and Han scene.
Yeah.
And it isn't just a
normal
shoot-off.
It still wasn't clear.
It isn't just a normal shoot-off. Greedo now says McClunky, meaning something to the effect of, like, I'm going to shoot you, and then...
You're about to get shot.
Work. And then the shoot-off happens anyway. And apparently this was something that Lucas made for the 3D re-release of A New Hope that never got released.
Even now we have this McClunky line. George Lucas is still fucking with the original Star Wars.
Yeah, it's crazy.
From the grave, this man will not stop fucking with my childhood.
Hey, all that aside... Star Wars in 4K, UHD, HDR for the first fucking time.
I'm very excited to watch that on my 10-year-old 1080p plasma.
It's still a solid TV.
Why is Last Jedi not on there?
Because it's on Netflix still. Last Jedi will be making its way to Disney Plus December 26th.
What other Star Wars movies
are on there? Last Jedi and Solo aren't on there.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah,
they only want the good Star Wars movies on there.
It's awesome that they up-res them and like or did the 4K.
I mean, it's insane. That's never been released before. Not on 4K,
smart
HD or anything.
If you're gonna launch your own streaming service, might as well launch it with that and extended endgame scenes.
If you go to the Last Jedi's page because it exists, you see when the movies are coming. And same thing for MCU. Like you can see when Infinity War is coming.
That's so cool.
And whatever. Yeah. So very very cool stuff. Let's just get right into it, baby. This is The Mandalorian. Chapter 1. Seems like they're not really naming these things anything fun. It's chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
They're out of it.
You know what I mean?
It's very indicative of what's to come, probably, unfortunately.
What does that mean?
I just feel like this was an interesting first episode for this show, and there wasn't a lot there.
Nick didn't like it. That's what I'm
Released on November 12th, 2019, directed by Dave Filoni. If you don't know Dave Filoni, Dave Filoni is an American animation director, voice actor, television writer, television producer, film director, blah, 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 blah. He's most known for his work on Avatar, The Last Airbender, and on the Star Wars Clone Wars film and television series. He was also the creator and executive producer of Star Wars Rebels for all four seasons. And for the first two seasons, he served as its supervising director. Filoni then accepted a promotion to oversee all of Lucasfilm animation projects. Then he returned as supervising director for season 4. This episode, like many of the episodes this season, written by Jon Favreau, who's also the showrunner of the entire show. This episode had a runtime of 39 minutes. Shorter than I expected.
Very brief.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I enjoyed that.
I'm fine with that.
I was happy with it.
Don't overstay your welcome. Get in there, get
exactly.
in.
Exactly.
Tell me.
Yeah. Why give us filler when we don't need
exactly,
it?
Exactly, right?
May the facts
this guy
be
wears
with
a helmet.
Here. A live-action Star Wars TV series entered production in early 2009 with over 50 scripts written by 2012, but due to their complex content, they were deemed too expensive to produce. Its title was to have been Star Wars Underworld. In January 2013, following the 2012 sale of Lucasfilm to Disney, then-president of the ABC television network spoke to the current status of the series, commenting that, "We'd love to do something with Lucasfilm. We're not sure what yet. We haven't even sat down with him. We're going to look at the live-action series. We're going to look at all of them and see what's right. We weren't able to discuss this with them until the acquisition closed. Just close. It's definitely going to be part of the conversation." And then in June 2014, more details regarding the series were revealed, including that Boba Fett would have appeared. So then obviously this is like not that, but this kind of came from the ashes of that.
Grandson again.
Eventually. And then something that I thought was interesting is in the credits, a lot of people were noticing that Unreal Engine was credited. Mm. Yeah. Unreal Engine is a game engine developed by Epic Games, is used to create the digital backgrounds. It makes the rendering of the visual effects faster than would normally be possible for a live-action series. And Favreau said the technology can be applied for a variety of challenges, or to a variety of challenges. So rather than using sketches on a whiteboard to map out scenes, the storyboarding was done on the game engine. Profile Studios provided the real-time camera tracking in a 3D environment. So that you'd like.
That's pretty cool.
Andy.
Oh, yeah.
And this is all stuff that he kind of like was working on in Lion King.
Do you think that the speeder scene was using Unreal too?
It's like that speeder, that first speeder did not look great.
With the Jordan?
Yeah. When it came out, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
I mean, most of the effects in this did not look great.
So now, before we get into, I don't even know what we're getting into.
How much did it gross?
What do we think about this? How much did it gross?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A lot of fucking money. Something to the tune of 25 million subscriptions by 2022. Kev, what'd you think?
I liked it. I thought it was cool. You know, more Star Wars can doesn't necessarily mean good Star Wars, but I felt like overall the tone was cool. Pedro Pascal's dope. Just everything when he talks, it's like, oh yeah, keep talking, keep saying stuff. Yeah,
you got a nice way of talking.
Yeah,
he's the Mandalorian.
Also, the action I thought was really cool. Seeing an IG unit like out there fucking cleaning up.
Pedro Pascal.
It's pretty interesting. I wonder if there's any consequences for killing another bounty hunter. Seems like there might be if you're in a guild. Yeah. But we'll find out.
Yeah. Shout out to Taika who voiced that IG unit. That's pretty cool.
Real dope.
Wait, so, but it was that IG-88?
No, it was IG-11.
So that's not. I don't know if that's Taika. Taika. That was Taika?
Yeah.
No, I thought he was going to be in the show the whole time.
He's credited. I'm sure he'll do another voice somewhere else. Maybe, I mean, but he's directing.
That might be what
you were talking about the bounty droid, right?
Yeah.
He was. He's in the promotional materials. I'm sure there's another model of him that'll show up.
Okay. IG-12.
Similar, if you watch Terminator Interview, right? Every Arnold Schwarzenegger isn't the same Terminator. Same model, not the same Terminator.
I was on that.
Not all Terminators are Arnold Schwarzenegger, but all Arnold Schwarzeneggers are Terminators.
Ooh!
You fucking nailed it today.
Because it was Terminator, then with a Star Wars character.
Yeah. I mean, if they come back, I think it's going to be this one coming back. I don't think it's
you think they're
going
to repair this one? He's going to be like, you shot me in the fucking head.
Yeah. Oh, this one's gone.
I mean, always dead. I don't think another IG-11 is going to come.
That's no, but I'm sure it'll be another IG unit. Because when he got there, he was just like, oh, great. He
was awesome.
He has that throwaway line where he's like, oh, shit, a fucking IG unit or whatever. Like a,
yeah, there were. Some,
whatever that droid is, a bounty unit.
Also, like, there were just a lot of them. Articles leading up to this saying that, you know, Taika was, you know, his role was a lot larger than what we had assumed.
As someone who knows nothing about this, the only promotional material I've seen is, what is that? Is that the MMA fighter woman from the movies we used to watch too?
Gina Carano.
She's got a gun. It's got Mandalorian.
Then
it's got the droid. The droid is definitely back. All right. He's going to be back. Yeah. I will bet everyone at this table a cool five spot. All right. You want to bet $5?
No,
do it.
Coward.
Do it.
Why don't you want to have fun?
Bet 500, you coward.
Bet 500, you coward.
I think we're going to get more IG units, and I think they're all going to have the same voice. Just throughout,
Interesting. Nick.
Why do you have a dollar? A loose dollar.
$2. I can't take the other one off.
Let me try.
You want to do it?
Let me try.
Feather it out.
I love fresh money from the bank. You know what I mean?
Whoa.
Andy, what if I kept doing it and I kept bringing out more dollars? That's what I dream of. Video games, you find the glitch. What if I find the glitch in life for infinite money? You know what I mean?
Same serial code.
Can I be your friend? That'd be great.
So, Nick, expand on your thoughts.
My worry with the show is that it's going to do for Star Wars what Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. did for Marvel, which is to say, not much. The episode started off really, really slowly. And then by the end of it, I was like, okay, I'm starting to get into this. And then it ended. So, like, I think the last 10 minutes were actually pretty fascinating. But the beginning of it with that blue guy, I was like, this is TV. And that's not good. Mm-hmm. I do not want Star Wars TV. I want Star Wars to be movies. And these should be, every episode should be treated as such. I also did myself a grave disservice by watching the latest episode of Watchmen right before I watched this. Mm-hmm. And Watchmen is a show that immediately gets you into this world that is completely complex and fascinating. And you're like, what's going on here? There's mysteries. This one starts with very, very, very generic action. I don't think the effects look good at all. I think that a lot of the ships needed like five more passes of shadows and ambient occlusion on them because they stick out like a sore thumb. And for the most part, the first 20 minutes of this movie is just Pedro Pascal walking around random streets in the cool outfit, which the more you see it, the less cool it gets. So I don't know. I think the episode for me started and I was like, oh no, I am not liking this. By the end of it, I'm like, all right, I'm excited for episode two to see where this goes because I think the IG drone was awesome. That whole part was cool, and then obviously the reveal at the end, I'm like, oh, okay, I'm fascinated by this now, but
50 years is a fucking baby.
Yeah.
Blow my brains out, you know what I mean?
You think the mind's developed, right? He's just physically
still
a baby.
Still goo goo gaga, you know? Like, he's
not, no way.
He doesn't even know how to talk.
Then why would it?
Hard, no, not a goddamn
so
chance.
Definitive.
I'm just saying, he sucks.
the stuff where he goes and gets the like, where he walks over and he gets the thing gilded for him, or like, yeah. I was like, what is this? This is weird. Why it's is she Sarah wearing a mask?
Special
I don't like that he's lately. Always wearing the helmet.
I don't like that either.
That's my big. That's a big issue for me because you can't really connect with the character. And then I was like, all right, it's fine. Maybe he'll take it off later, or maybe he won't, whatever. I would prefer it if he took it off because I like Pedro Pascal and I think he's a great actor. And it's a shame that you're hiding him behind this mask. But then we get to the scene where he's like, I gotta look down there, and he takes out his monocle or his thing.
Yeah.
And kind of like puts it. And he can't figure out where it is. And then he puts it up again, and it's in the middle of his forehead.
Yeah,
and I'm like, what is the point of this mask? Does it not have this technology built into the mask? Like, why do you need other shit?
Yeah, that would be really.
What
cool
does the mask do? Anyway, I don't know.
What'd you think, Greg?
I enjoyed it. I wasn't creaming my jeans like everybody else seems to be on the internet. Like, but I had fun with it. Like, I didn't mind it being slower and different in the start. I like the idea of not knowing what this is going to be and legitimately knowing nothing about it. Like, I've done no research. I really didn't know. When I started, I was like, what? Before, like, the Empire's fallen, I didn't really understand what timeline necessarily.
But even now, it's like, when are we? Like,
we're between 3 and 4, right?
No?
Where are we? Oh, no, I'm sorry. Guy. Stop. I'm sorry. We're between six and seven. I did know that. Yeah. My apologies.
Is that right, though?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, the first order hasn't come around yet, right? But that's where we're at. Okay, cool. I knew that. That wasn't a mistake or a Gregism. Getting in there and not knowing of that and having it slowly drip fed to me, I enjoyed. And I did enjoy that it was smaller. I like that it's a character piece. I like that it was very, like, gunk, anchored to him. Like, I did enjoy the Brian Posehn driving him over there. We get on the ship. The blue guy won't shut up. He's just there. I liked sitting in that awkward spot of, like, what is happening? What's about to go down?
I just think the beginning of it needed to really, really... I think a lot of the money needed to go right into the beginning of it, and it didn't. It just... I was like, this is not good. The bar scene where he walks in, it just all screamed, like, bad
expanded universe.
Network TV. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, this is like all of my fears coming to fruition with Disney acquiring Star Wars is that they're just going to now churn out the stuff that is a solid B, maybe B minus in material and like or in rating. And like, I don't want that. I want Star Wars to be a triple A thing. And seeing Star Wars on the level of something like Firefly, but without the actually fascinating characters, is not good for me.
Do you think you're going to, when this is all said and done and we step back, you'll have a different perspective on the opening?
I mean, it'll...
Because even by the end of the episode, I was with you. Of like, this is slow. Okay, I like where we're going. And then getting a little bit more to where we do have I thought him getting the suit of armor or what the one armor piece made was cool. And I'm like, I don't understand this, but I get this is a big deal. This is a big deal for him and his culture.
I mean, I'll continue to watch him because, like I said, by the end of the episode, I was like, okay, this is cool.
Well, we have a show to do.
They put a lot of effort into the IG drone. And I think that scene was well thought out, and that looked good. And I liked how he moved. I like that he was just
that was awesome. He moved
so great,
very very cool. And he kept trying to blow himself up. And I'm like, oh, okay, we're getting
really
some
funny.
Witty back and forth. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, this is
that's
gonna
where
be cool.
It felt like Star Wars.
It's gonna be the Mandalorian and his pet drone, the IG-11, right? And then he blows his brain out, and they're like, oh no, he's just by himself. So we'll see what they do with it, but I will be very interested to see if they can make this a sympathetic character with where he has to keep wearing the helmet, though. Because Pedro Pascal is a really, really, really good actor, but I'm just not connecting with this character yet.
Well, I think that's kind of the point. I think he is shrouded in mystery. We don't really know all about him. He is wearing this mask, and that does separate us from who he can maybe be or whatever. But I think part of it is we saw him.
The flashbacks.
We saw some of the flashbacks, yeah, and there's obviously something deeper happening there. But then also, like, even though I didn't really love the scene, but him learning how to ride that fucking animal, it's like, oh, he's trying to. Okay, this is where they're kind of making him more of a person that we can maybe connect with, who's struggling with this thing.
It was,
and he finally overcomes it. I didn't think it was very good, but you know, whatever.
It was the same way with.
You didn't think what was very good?
That part. There's that whole
the scene in general. Yeah, 100% with you. I have spoken.
Yeah,
and again, I like Nick Nolte's character. I like the little dude, but I just thought that I'm like, this is a throwaway scene to just basically get some character exposition here. But then he's like, yeah, you can't take a speeder up there. It's rocky terrain. I'm like, what about the starship that I just landed in?
Right?
Could I take that up there?
Yeah.
That thing that can go fucking intergalactic. Can I take that up there, or do I have to ride this fucking bog door? Whatever the thing is. And that thing didn't look very good either. When they started riding him across the train, I was like, oh my god, this looks so bad.
I felt like the there were two like scenes where it's like it did feel very like network TV, which was the blue guy. They should have had way less of him. Like him talking the whole time, I thought was annoying and not like well written. And also the scene where he's like he has that guy teach him how to ride that weird animal thing.
Yeah. That felt too fast. Like, it felt for
like
a show
that there was as much time minutes. As they want. Yeah. And there was also nothing for him to overcome. Like
exactly.
He didn't like, hearken back to something in order to overcome this challenge. It was just like, let me touch it like I'm touching the raptor's head and fucking...
But the one thing that I'm okay with that is that it, when you have that in context of the rest of the episode, I liked seeing him where he's not just... There is mystery about him, like, not just because he's behind a mask, but it's like, you see him kind of be a badass. You see him kind of be, like, a... like sympathetic person. You see him in like different frames of mind, and I think that's
when his arm got bit, right? Like when it seemed like, holy fuck, is he about to like really get fucked up here? He doesn't seem Superman. He doesn't seem invulnerable.
Yeah,
why didn't he pull
I feel like this
the
episode
out?
Presented a lot of really so good like a premise that I'm interested in, especially with the end reveal. It's just like, oh shit, like obviously this guy's probably force sensitive. Like there, that means a lot where we're
why
at
think,
in the
why
in
do you think
he's Yoda, dude. You know what I mean?
You mean the baby's force
sensitive. Yeah.
Sorry, I thought you meant Mandalorian.
Nah, and it's just I just feel like that's I think this first episode did a very good job of being ridiculously Star Wars and kind of like presenting a lot of really interesting questions of things that I'm like, oh, I want to know what's happening next in a way that networks like Agents of the Shield, I'm like, I don't give a fuck about the direction that they're going after watching episode one. With this, I'm like, I can't wait to see what's going on in episode two. I want to know where they're going with it. I feel like they answered a lot of fun little things of like questions that we've had over 30 years of talking about Star Wars of like where do they pee? What's the like all this stuff? It's like let's focus on that. Let's focus on the more mundane kind of like these are just people living in a world. I didn't like the blue guy either. I thought they focused on him a little too much. But despite that, I liked how much they focus on just random ass motherfuckers that we might never see again. And it's like, then he gets put in carbonite. I'm like, this is fucking cool.
Real quick about the blue guy. I really did like the bar scene though. I thought like that was a cool scene.
Yeah.
I think
it started off
like,
extremely strong. I think the guy getting cut in the door, I was like, that was cool. All right, I'm in.
Yeah.
And then it did tail off. It did kind of trail off for me where I liked the episode. I didn't love it. I thought it was serviceable. There was some parts that I didn't enjoy. Again, you know, we're going to keep on harping on this blue guy. But yeah, he was very much like early 2000s, late 90s sci-fi channel.
That guy is straight out of a Star Trek Voyager.
Yeah.
Where you're okay, that guy's a silly character, a silly side character in a Star Trek universe show. And that's kind of what this reminded me of, but not in a good way. Where I'm like, okay, we're watching Star Trek now, and Star Trek can be a little bit more relaxed and a little bit more television. But that's not what I want from Star Wars.
But what I do like is the conclusion of that, where, like, not what we must have spent like 10 minutes with him total. And at the end of the 10 minutes, he gets frozen in carbonite and sold, and the bounty gets, rewarded.
Yeah,
cool stuff. I mean, the fact that he has a mobile carbonite freezer unit and his plane that's, like, the size of a closet versus the other one that we saw in Empire that was a fucking gigantic room, notwithstanding.
That was a fun little moment,
and you got that he was baiting him in. But it was also... It's weird because tonally you're supposed to like this character, but in the beginning you're like, okay, that's a really mean thing to do to someone. I feel like the main character of the show.
But that doesn't mean that he has to be a good character.
I'm interested in him more than I care.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested. We do get hints of more of a humanity when he's talking to the
Forge
person.
I think the only thing he did that was... Well, they had that flashback, which is terrible, and I get it, but whatever. It was bad.
It was not terrible. A lot of crosses off.
The only thing he's done so far that made him sympathetic was that he shot IG-11, which is good because you're like, oh, he's gonna. This guy's.
I figured he was gonna shoot him regardless because he wants all that metal. He's not gonna split that as a prize.
But I think he was. I think he was. That was a moment where you're like, okay, this character is gonna be good. I just don't know if. I don't know what they're going for with this. Is it supposed to be the Walter White character, where it's a character that does a bunch of bad things, but you still kind of like want to be on the ride with him, or is he going to be the sympathetic character that is the hero and is turning a leaf?
I feel like they did a good enough job for me of like setting up enough in 40 minutes, where it's like we have 7 episodes left this season. You know, it's like all that stuff. We'll kind of see. My worry is that the things that they presented, they're not actually going to have satisfying answers to. But I kind of have faith that they're going to. Like, I feel like this is it's not just good enough. Like, I thought this was a great start to this story, and I feel like the effects and stuff definitely weren't up to the level that I was expecting. I don't think it's network TV though. I do think that it's like
I think it's better than that.
But I think it is. I think it's a pretty sizable step, but it's not. The trailer made me think that we were getting like movie quality Star Wars. It's not that.
It's not, yeah.
But it's not distracting. I feel like they made some wise choices, like just going straight in and being like, this is how the ships are going to look. This is how the characters, aliens are going to look. We're not trying to hide it. There's physical stuff and CG. Like, this is the world. We're not trying to bask away from that.
I think there's a lot of good production elements in it. I do. I want to give a shout out to when we get to the Werner Herzog scene. Awesome. I'm like, first off, that's fucking awesome.
So
you got him.
Cool.
And the other, I forget the other actor's name that's in that scene. I think he was the bad guy in Venom. Am I crazy with that?
Maybe. No,
I don't think so.
I forget who that guy is.
He looks insanely familiar.
I've seen him in a bunch of stuff. Anyway, that whole scene where he opens it up and the stormtroopers are all their armor's tinged.
Dude, that scene
because they've been in hiding.
Great.
I was like, this is pretty cool. Yeah. That stuff was great. I'm just going to be very fascinated to see how they develop the actual Mandalorian character, because after a couple episodes of him being brooding and not saying anything, I'm going to get real bored real quick.
They're going to turn that corner.
They got to have him.
He's going to take
like when he started being more real. Where he's like, shit, I got bounced out. Oh, that's what it is. What was he in?
Scroll up. I didn't.
This is Omi.
Oh yeah.
God damn. What did I see him in?
He's in DuckTales. He's a voice in Rage too.
He's in Shameless. That's where I recognize him from.
We'll look it up later.
There's a lot of voices. Metro Exodus, look at this guy.
He's in one of those video games.
Wow.
But that was cool. And I love the scene where they walk into the Mandalorian cave area, and there's a whole bunch of little
Yeah, I didn't like the Mandalorian kids running around with their armor on.
Why not?
I don't know. That just sounded silly.
It took away the weird.
Django did have armor on all the time.
Yeah.
Boba.
It took me away. It took a lot of the mystery out of it for me, where I want to think of... wherever there is a Mandalorian, there is not another one.
I don't want to see a little city.
I want them to be the mysterious sort of being that we see on screen. I don't know who this person is or where they come from or what their story is, but I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
And to see a little civilization. I mean, not civilization.
See, I disagree.
There was 10 people, and I was like,
I disagree with that, because I feel like they're hinting that they're going to give us stories there and give us backstory and into this world. Because it's I don't want to just, unless he's Boba Fett, it's weird that there's Boba Fett and then there's this guy. It's why there's anyone that wears this outfit is just going to be this lone bounty hunter guy. It's I like the idea that maybe they're being raised for that or whatever it is. We'll see.
Now I'm wondering, do I want this?
Yeah, I just thought it was very, very weird to have that scene between him and the forger, or where I don't know what you call it, the blacksmith, or whatever it is, where they were both staring at each other, and it's just a lifeless helmet and a lifeless helmet. And to the credit of the actors, they kind of got it across, but I'm this is fucking weird. Take your helmets off. Why would you go into your den and keep your helmet on? That doesn't make any sense.
I thought that was a cool Judge Dredd thing, where it's he is the helmet, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but the difference with Judge Dredd is that we can still see his face emote a little bit, and Carl
with the last
Dredd, he did such a good job, but he also wasn't the main character. He had the Olivia,
Hershey was the main character?
She was there, and she was the one that you were like, oh, okay, this is the character that we're following along this adventure.
I feel
and then he was just there.
That doesn't make her the main character. She's
one of the main characters. You could see her face the entire time.
Sure.
That was where we got a lot of the humanity from. I'll say, one of the disappointments of this is that they didn't release all of them at the same time. Because I really felt I think this series of all the series is going to not benefit from week to week rollout. I wish this was all one, because right at the end of that episode, I'm like, cool, I'm ready for another one. Do I really have to wait a week for this? This is not a good thing. Because by episode three, if we weren't doing this show, I'd be like, I'm not watching the show anymore.
Yeah. You have an option.
Honestly, I think that might be why they decided to do two episodes this week. You know, like they needed
to put all of them out at once.
I feel like
I don't agree.
This did a good enough job that I'm like, I'm excited to see the next episode, see where they go.
Yeah.
And like, I'm definitely I'm ready to give them more chances to see if like the story hooks me. Right now, it definitely has me interested. Hopefully, by episode three, we're gonna be like really hooked, because that's when the long wait starts, right? Or episode two, I guess, it's where we now have to actually wait a week.
Yeah,
I agree with that. The shootout scene, everything leading up into the baby Yoda. What's the Yoda race, by the way?
We don't know.
Yeah.
Yodel.
So that's actually a big deal, because we don't really know that his race or anything from that background. So that's like kind of the first time
Lucas went out of his way to like retroactively delete any information.
There was like one trading card, right, of a female Yoda that they flipped out about into.
They burned it.
We do.
George Lucas is going to smash the wall in a second.
If you say it, he's going to keep adding scenes to A New Hope. Shut up.
And now Greedo holds up a picture of Han's family.
Is this your nephew? Shot the picture?
And really quick with the whole like not wanting to learn more about like their culture and stuff. Like, I think that was just the wrong headspace to go into, because they've talked about their culture at length and like other star, like I know it's like the Clone Wars and Rebels is not for everybody, but they have expanded a lot on Mandalore and the history of that planet. So them showing that in this show wasn't like a weird or anything. It was like I almost expected it, because that planet is like kind of important for like at least in the history of those shows. What's up?
Dr. Star Wars, I have a question for you. Now that I have this Disney Plus on there, which Clone Wars cartoon do I need to watch?
There's the movie, and then there's the show. Apparently, the movie is the first.
The first three episodes.
Yes. First three episodes, and then you watch the show. I will say, season one is kind of hard to get through. It's very slow, but season two kicks in, and there's like the whole bounty hunter storyline. Like, it really picks up, and it's really fun.
Can I jump to season two, or do I need to watch season one?
I would say you could just jump to season two, because I feel like episode one is just very episodic, kind of like whatever. So,
okay,
yeah.
For a quick second, I thought you were just being ultra dork and calling lore of the Mandalorians the Mandalore.
No, like, that's awesome.
If you listen to the Mandalore,
is Boba Fett not a Mandalorian?
Jango Fett is.
Boba's wearing the Mandalorian armor. Of course.
He's an unprogrammed clone.
But Jango is, right? Someone in the chat. Okay. But also, if you were raised by a Mandalorian, counts as a Mandalorian, right?
Yeah.
You're not from the clone planet.
I mean,
I
didn't grow up in Italy, but still Italian.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's a great point. That actually works, actually. Yeah.
I mean, we'll see. I wonder if Boba's going to be in this. I kind of hope he's not.
He's dead. He got eaten by the Sarlacc pit. They added a tongue to make sure.
Wouldn't he be like 60 years old now?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe older.
People get older.
Yeah, but maybe Mandalorians age like Yoda, where 50 years is only like
who's still shit in your pants, and he's a fucking little 50-year-old baby.
If this is right after Return, this was like maybe
5 years.
Boba's like maybe 30.
That's a great call.
I forgot there was like, there's that 30-year span they can play with, so it could be the beginning.
Before we go on, let me tell you that this episode is brought to you by HelloFresh. With HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit, you can get easy seasonal recipes and pre-measured ingredients delivered right to your door. All you have to do is cook and enjoy. Tonight, Gia's about to make me some cherry sprinkled pork chops.
You know they have family size options?
They got a ton of options.
You can have us over. You can have us all over.
I could. HelloFresh makes cooking delicious meals at home a reality, regardless of your comfort in the kitchen. From step-by-step recipes to pre-measured ingredients, you'll have everything you need to get a wow-worthy dinner on the table in just about 30 minutes. You can break out of your dinner rut with HelloFresh's 20-plus seasonal chef-curated recipes each week. There's something for everyone, from family recipes that Kevin's talking about to calorie-smart and vegetarian, and fun menu series like Hall of Fame and Kraft Burgers. Oh, I want some of those Kraft Burgers. You can add extra meals to your weekly order, as well as yummy add-ons like garlic bread and cookie dough. What's your stance on garlic bread, Andy?
Oh my gosh, garlic bread is
strong.
It's strong, Kevin.
You ever get a little bit of marinara sauce? It's the best. It's the best.
You can get 9 free meals with HelloFresh by going to HelloFresh.com/morning9 and using code morning9. That's 9 free meals with HelloFresh by going to HelloFresh.com/morning9 using code morning9. Next up, shout out to Escape the Invasion. You got to check out this game called Escape the Invasion. It's all about immersive experiences, and they just announced the launch of their new post-apocalyptic themed subscription box. Picture this scenario. You're in the middle of a post-apocalyptic world that has been ravished by a deadly virus inflicted by aliens. If I had a nickel, Andy. Would you survive?
How much would you have?
I don't know. Probably like 25 cents. Cool. With Escape the Invasion, you can find out. Each month, you'll receive a box of clues, physical items, and evidence that will get you closer to survival. It's up to you to piece it all together, solve the mystery, and save humanity. It's been called an escape room delivered to your door where Fallout meets Alien. It's a great way to get off your phones and start connecting with your friends and family. Or if you prefer to play solo, you can interact with the online community, swapping theories and helping each other out. Right now, just for you guys, you can go to escapetheinvasion.com/morning for 20% off your first box. That's escapetheinvasion.com/morning for 20% off your first box. Escapetheinvasion.com/morning. See if you can survive the alien apocalypse. What you got for me, Kev?
Oh, nothing. I think you can do it, Tim. I think you can survive.
No, you don't.
No, I do.
No, guys.
Tim's a fucking survivor. Nah, you get him in there, he'll be eating rats. No problem. You know what I mean?
I'd eat a rat.
You definitely eat a rat. You're hungry enough, you'll eat a rat.
Exactly. You'd eat whatever you have to survive.
A little bit of salt.
Right, this is Gia's making him. I'm going to lay down. You know, hello. Lay down. Rat box.
A little bit of mashed potatoes.
And also, shout out to HoneyBook. It's what you've always dreamed of. You started your own business, Greg.
I did.
You have no boss. You are the boss. You are the CEO. My God. No one told you there would be so much admin work.
That's why I got Nick.
Here's a reality check. Running your business is hard, but HoneyBook makes it easy. If you started your own business, you're your own boss, but along with being the CEO, you're also the accountant, marketing manager, creative director, executive assistant, and many more titles. We're way too familiar with this. HoneyBook is an online business management tool that organizes your client communications, bookings, contracts, and invoices all in one place. It's perfect for freelancers, entrepreneurs, or small business owners that want to consolidate services they already use, like QuickBooks, Google Suite, Excel, and MailChimp. With HoneyBook, you can automate your busy work. They have easy-to-use templates for emails, proposals, brochures, and invoices. And right now, HoneyBook is offering you guys 50% off when you visit honeybook.com/morning. Payment is flexible, and this promotion applies whether you pay monthly or annually. You can go to honeybook.com/morning for 50% off your first year. That's honeybook.com/morning. Back to it, Andy. Overall, what are your impressions of this?
I'm super excited for the rest of it. I'm super excited. I wasn't completely jazzed about this episode. If I were to put it at a number out of 10, mm-hmm. I'd say 7.5 out of 10.
That's a good number. I think I'm right there.
That's a good number. The moments that I did enjoy, I was very intrigued by the visuals. I thought there were some really cool shots. I thought some other shots were, some other scenes were shot not so great. In particular, the scene with Werner Herzog was kind of just weirdly done, I felt.
Really? I thought that scene.
I love the look. I love the aesthetics of it.
I like how that was shot.
The set design was really, really nice. But I thought that there was just some.
But even the doors opening and like that first moment where you see all the stormtroopers.
That was awesome.
And they're all messy and it's like, oh.
What's their story? Yeah. Like, what's going on with the.
You're
going
to get 8 episodes in 2021 about them.
They're going to be their own Disney side Plus. Story. Yeah, I'm super excited for whatever the future of this series can be, and obviously dropping that sort of big reveal at the very, very end. I hope every episode is like that, because I love when TV shows do that, but I hate having to wait another week.
Do you think the next episode starts out and he's just taking care of the baby and like he's kind of becoming adoptive dad?
Have some of the Mandalorian milk
somewhere, you know what I mean?
God, that little tongue thing at the end that you did.
Yeah
Yeah, like I said, when I watched the trailer, I was like, this is going to be so freaking rad. And when I first started watching it, I was like, oh, this isn't exactly what I expected. And what you were talking about earlier, Nick, of like, they should have put more money into the opening of this.
Yeah.
I feel like they kind of did it backwards where they ended so strong. Like, once IG-11 got introduced, I was like, oh.
That whole stuff was, I wish.
And when we're talking about a
40-minute
episode, that, like, it doesn't take too long to get to that stuff. So it's like, I don't really hold it against it just because it didn't do what traditional things do. Of like opening with the bang, because I feel like in context this is opening with a bang of it being a 40-minute episode.
Yeah,
this wasn't 50 minutes, it wasn't an hour. I appreciated it, and
How much did you like the opening though? The new Star Wars thing with like all the helmets
and
stuff.
Cool. It's fine.
I like that a lot. I
liked it a lot.
I'll say what
it looks
really
so good.
Take off your high pad. You've given up your high pad. Andy, take away the high pad. Take the high pad.
Doesn't even have music.
Take the high pad, Andy.
I'll say this. The closing credit artwork
it's
is
fantastic.
Awesome.
That was really cool.
So that's what I'm saying is like, it's really so cool. Weird how they paced this because like they're trying to set this character up as a badass, and the things that he does for the first 30 minutes, while cool, are kind of generic action hero stuff. Like the bar scene, like where he just like these guys come at him and they're all standing next to him, and I'm like, oh, he's gonna do something rad. Like he's gonna pull something out of his pocket, like a thermal detonator or something cool. He's gonna outsmart these guys. Nah, he just kind of like bounces one guy's head, and he's this tiny little dude compared to these other guys. So you're like, I don't believe this. Then he does the lasso thing. I'm like, okay, that's cool.
The lasso thing.
Then the thing grabs onto his ship, and you're like, oh, he's gonna have to outsmart this thing. Nah, he just goes and shocks it. And you're like, okay.
Yeah, that was really lame.
There's nothing that he does in the first 30 minutes of this that makes me believe he is this extraordinary badass man, like historic man, like from this historic warrior.
Can I float one thing? Is like that, if I can, as a counterpoint to that, I liked all that. What I liked the most about this, and one of the things you were saying earlier that we got away from before I could comment on it, is like, you know, he's a bad guy. Are we supposed to root for him, kind of thing? I would argue, is he? He's a bounty hunter. Is Dog the bounty hunter, aside from the racism, a bad guy? You know what I mean? Like, he's out there doing jobs and doing things.
No, and I don't.
What's another famous bounty hunter? Bounty hunter is in his name. The racist piece of shit.
And I like the back and forth with him and Carl Weathers, right?
Yeah.
Where
let me keep going on the point because I was going to get there. You're right. Carl Weathers, of course, shout out. Awesome. But what I loved the most was the fact that he wasn't this god, that it was that he kind of fucked up, that he did simple stuff, that it was when Carl Weathers, he's like, can I get another job? And Carl Weathers, this one pays $5,000. He's like, that's barely enough for fuel. Like, he's struggling, which is what I've never gotten about why people love Boba Fett. And again, I'm just a commoner who watches the movies and doesn't think too much about him.
What people like about Boba Fett is that he was smart. And then he outsmarted people. That's what I was expecting with this, right? When he sits down and goes, and Werner Herzog's like, you're the best. Like, you have the best reputation of all the bounty hunters. When a character tells you that, what they're telling the audience is like, you're going to see this dude do some crazy shit you've never seen him do before. And we didn't see that. Literally, Nick Nolte's character is like, the reason why I brought you here, like, I chose to help you is because you're a Mandalorian, and I believe you, of all people, can go in there and kill all these people. And I'm like, this is going to be dope. But then he, like, randomly just jumps on the back of this thing and, like, rides it around.
I really didn't like
that. How
did
you not get shot about a billion times while that was happening? I just wish it was more clever. Like, when you don't have budget, your writing has to be really, really, really clever.
They did have budget, though.
But like they don't have the kind of budget that they need to get the ambiance around where I believe this guy is this like gray character in this neutral like fucked up universe. Right now it feels like they're almost there. But that's the thing. Like when he walked into the scene with Carl Weathers, I was like, oh, this looks cool. And then he sits down and they have that great back and forth where I'm like, oh, these are kind of murky characters where you don't know if Carl Weathers is a good or bad guy. Maybe he doesn't give a shit about being good or bad because it's just about surviving.
It's about making money, bro.
And making money. And like, and I do love that back and forth where he's like, 5,000 credits, it's not enough to pay for my fuel. And you're like, all right, man, we'll pay for the fuel and stuff.
I have a question for Mr. Scarpino, and I'm not even trying to light it up. I'm not even trying to light the fuse here, everybody. Who does Boba Fett outsmart? Doesn't he? Darth Vader's hands Han over, and then doesn't he get shot in the butt and fall on an anus?
He tracks them down because he figures out where the Millennium Falcon's going. Remember when they get lost in the trash? He's the one that tracks them.
Remember in Revenge of the Sith where they showed him learn that trick from
Obi-Wan.
Fuck! It all comes back to Obi.
It does.
Damn Obi!
I just feel like
but that's cool.
I just feel
like
when you're a character that in the Star Wars universe that doesn't have Force powers, you have to have something extraordinary about you for me to give a shit. Because every single time I watch a Star Wars anything, and a lightsaber doesn't come out, I'm like, you better be a very, very fascinating character because you have to compete with someone who can literally lift shit up with their brain and throw it across the room. And so far, I'm just not seeing that in this. Like right now, when I watch this, I go, ha, I kind of would rather just watch The Force Awakens again because that has the stuff that I really, really like, which is like better character development, unbelievable visuals, and lightsabers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do agree with you, though, that there were those big two moments where he just shocks the alien off.
Those were
the
supposed
ship.
To be the moments where you go, this guy's great at what he
where
does.
Where he could have.
But it looked clumsy.
There were a lot of, like, other.
And he can't
creative,
move that well in the armor.
There were some
which is not
creative
good.
Ways that he could have gotten around that to where you're watching that as a viewer and going, like, fuck, that's really cool and clever for not only this character to do this, but for a writer to think of that moment. Like, I think of. I think of Walter White with the fucking bell on the wheelchair blowing. That shit blows my mind that somebody concepted that in writing. But when you just let me grab this stick.
Well, like a perfect example.
I think
was,
it would have been cooler if he hung off and shot it perfectly so it just died immediately, you know?
Well, maybe move the thrusters down and burn it.
I'm just going to do this myself, and he went out and just fucking worked.
Smarter, not harder. That's
the point of it? You know what I mean? That scene had no point to it.
This was just a useless
complication that he easily overcame and doesn't really give me anything character wise.
I think the point of it was to show, hey, he's a badass. Check this guy
out.
Normal
people are going to freak out at this. He doesn't care about this. But it's not going to engage in banter.
But it didn't work for me like that, right?
Yeah, same here.
And then another thing that I was like, when the blue guy came downstairs, I was like, oh, okay, he's letting him go down there, right? I thought it was going to be something cool where the guy's like, oh, here's the escape pod. And he gets in, and it closes. And then you see Pedro Pascal come over and hit the button, and that's what freezes him. No, he just goes,
that'd be cool, actually.
And then he just pulls him over and pushes him to the thing, and then fake bad gas comes out, and it's like, what the fuck? Why is any of this happening?
Interesting moments.
Don't freak out.
Moments before that, we did get the he finds his weapons and then just closes.
I didn't know that. Why would he pull a gun out?
I found that, I'd be like, oh, okay, I'm gonna take this out and shoot the guy. Now I have his ship and I'm ready to rock and roll. But no, he's like, oh, Paul, just close those down. Okay.
Blue guy's not that smart.
Also, we don't use any of those weapons.
I imagine the blue guy's just like, all right, this guy will overpower me.
Well, we don't know because he's frozen in carbonite now forever. But I do love that to say something positive about the style of how he fights. I like the gunslinger Wild West
really
style.
Cool.
Yeah, that
really
stuff's working cool. for me. So I want to I really hope they lean more into that. Where he does have this weird cattle prod on the back of his thing. I'm like, throw that away. Just use your badass blaster.
But that's his
and get a
jetpack
for Christ's sake. Is it a rifle?
Yeah, really helped out. Just looking, he's got no situational awareness. He's looking 400 meters away. There's a giant thing right now. Oh, fuck!
I think there's one thing that I hope that they do bring to this, and we've seen from some of the promotional material, is I feel like a lot
that
of
MMA
these,
fighter from that one movie.
I feel like a lot of these Star Wars movies kind of benefit from a cool cast, like a little group that they surround themselves with. And I immediately think of Cowboy Bebop. Who is his?
Or Firefly.
Absolutely. Yeah. Who is this cast going to be? Who is this group of characters that are going to kind of give each other shit at first, Guardians of the Galaxy, and then they eventually become friends or whatever? I want to see, the friendly, cool type, and we have the old curmudgeon over here. What are these?
What's his rogues gallery?
Will we get
be?
To see somebody else for him to play off of regularly enough instead of this IG-11 droid that he just shoots immediately?
The other droid's going to show him and be like, "Have you seen my twin brother? I've got a bounty for you to help me find the guy who killed my brother." He's like, "Fuck!
Nope, I haven't seen it.
It was this lizard baby. It's 50 years old."
IG-11. I loved every line of dialogue.
Dude,
I loved him constantly
so
almost self destructing, and yep. I loved the action scene. Was fun and cool, and I like how it ended with the Mandalorian grabbing the fucking laser thing. It just felt like it had a good build where he didn't feel like Superman. It was just kind of
I gotta get this done.
Yeah, I gotta get this done. I enjoyed that, and the reveal of the Yoda thing at the end is just that's up to me. Where I'm like, I would have never thought about that. What the fuck? That's just what are the consequences of this?
I do really enjoy the concept of IG. I just feel like that the way the IG droids look is so dated to how the other technology looks in the show. I think of from Rogue One, tall fucker.
K2SO.
Yeah, K2SO. And I was hoping there'd be more of a droid of that sort of aesthetic.
This is obviously
a
nostalgia touch.
Did we see Bosk? Was that Bosk in the?
It was a Bosk like
looking. So they updated
racist.
That vibe or whatever, and like that. Obviously
so you don't care about the design? You want the design to be
awesome? I got it.
I mean, yeah, I guess so. I just feel like when those characters were created, it was done on obviously such a low budget.
Yeah.
And I don't know
the Bounty Hunter.
I don't know if any other robots really look like that anymore in the Star Wars universe.
See, yeah, I love the way that they had him move.
Yeah, yeah
it felt like the design they finally utilized.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
Type of,
I guess yeah, just yeah, the yeah. tin can head just threw it off.
Right. Okay, yeah, well, yeah, yeah, I think that's just a subjective thing.
The
I
eyes
it.
Were weird, but I also loved to see him actually come alive.
You'll
and be a bounty hunter. You know, actually see him killing. Because it's for the longest time we know there are killer droids out there. We haven't seen too many of them, and to see him be so effective, it was cool when he's in the middle of everything, just kind of walking around, you know?
And I love the dialogue, too, and I love the, like, oh, I hate droids. It's just, like, there's just little things that you know are going to pay off later. And I love the references to things like the talking about the Purge and things like that. It's like, that's awesome. That it's like, this is real. This is
when
canon.
They say the Purge, is that Jedi's?
The Order 66 stuff, which is cool.
Cool.
Yeah, it's like this stuff all happened. Prequels, sequels. Well, I guess sequels haven't happened yet, but they're going to happen.
So you don't think the Purge is some Mandalorian thing?
I think it's the Jedi thing.
Okay.
I thought it was a Mandalorian thing.
I thought it was related to the flashbacks.
I really hope they continue on with that reveal at the end, and I hope they give us stuff that actually is relevant canon. Because that's the one thing I hope they don't do, which is they just give us a bunch of characters that don't mean anything in the greater Skywalker trilogy. I really hope there's some tie-ins that are really, really cool.
I don't necessarily want that.
If we build this whole other world that all this stuff's happening, we know how it ends.
No, we don't.
We know the First Order comes. We know that there's a whole other thing that's happening.
Even now, we don't know what
none of this matters.
But we don't know the
First
Order.
It matters to
like
Mandalorian's
reach.
Story.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying is I want it to... Okay, we'll see where it goes. Yeah. The thing that I didn't like about S.H.I.E.L.D., Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., is that it didn't feel like it was...
Well, that wasn't included. Like that
exactly.
Yeah.
And so that's why I need there to be elements that tie into the greater stories for me, or else this is going to feel very thin.
I like the idea that this is its own character piece. It's its own side shoot. I hope it doesn't come around and try to shoehorn itself into... I don't even know, Ray or Isaac Newton, whatever.
Isaac Newton.
Whatever. I don't want that,
Isaac, but I do want it to play into the greater
Isaac
life.
Isaac Isaacson? Who's Finn?
Oscar Isaac.
No, who's the other guy?
Oscar Isaac.
Yeah, okay.
Isaac Asimov. Poe.
Thank you, Poe. Yes.
Yeah, okay. I mean, again, I don't want it to be like, oh, this is a direct prequel to it, but like, obviously they're introducing a Yoda character, so they're taking these chances, right? Like, we haven't seen one of these yet, so that is... all I'm saying is those are elements that to me go, okay, this is something that's going to be.
They're going there.
They're going. It's going to be. I don't know the way
world
to put
building?
It, but it's going to be
consequential.
Yeah, like it's going to actually be something that's going to resonate forever in the Star Wars history and the Star Wars canon, right? And that makes me excited. I want to see more of those elements where we actually refer back to this show as something that's meaningful, as opposed to this being just ancillary content.
But this could be a new creation of a new Jedi Order that is then unrelated to the Skywalker saga.
But it can't.
It can, though. But like, Skywalker saga can end without them resolving the Jedi stuff.
But
like,
if they
the
have,
Jedis are, you know...
They're not, if they have a Jedi Order that springs up in this show,
yeah,
then it's not going to make sense.
Why?
I don't think they're going to play with Jedis at all in this. Maybe you'll see a random Jedi here and there.
I mean, I think that
because
like,
this is
30 Baby
years
Yoda
prior
thing,
to when we've seen Skywalker go and be like, there are no Jedis left. I'm the last Jedi. He told us that in movies.
That's
like,
it, but that's
yeah, nobody right. knows. Like, you know, these things are connected.
Well, what I'm saying is when you have that element, if you were to introduce the other element, then it becomes confusing, befuddled, and murky. So this is
unless
where
they're totally
this is why when people
tracks.
Talk about how it's difficult to have the Star Wars, like the greater Star Wars universe, be Marvel, which is always weird to me. Like, this is what I'm starting to feel, where I'm like, Can they introduce Jedis in this? Because to me, that feels totally wrong and not right.
I personally hope that this goes a different route, not the MCU route where all these things are connected. I'd like to see just individual stories that are kind
good.
Of going their... Yeah, good stories that are going their own route that don't necessarily have to tie back to Skywalkers or anything that we already know.
It's what I always argue about with comic books, right? Like, I don't think continuity is bad at its core, but it gets bad with these month-to-month books. If this is going to be we have a story to tell about the Mandalorian. Here is the 8 episodes, whatever it is. Here's the entire...
We already know there's a season 2.
Okay, here's the Mandalorian storyline we are starting, right? That's the story we want to tell. I don't care. If it's good and it's interesting, it's awesome. I know that it's here in somewhere. There's all sorts of fucking Captain Phasma's polishing her helmet to get killed someday or whatever. It would never be killed. And like, I don't need it all to be locked in, tied together. I understand that I'm in the same fucking universe and it's going to go.
Yeah. Yeah, it's always a risk when you go with the nostalgia like pulls of like, oh, man, there's that thing that you already know. And when it works, it really fucking works, but it's really easy to mess it up. And
yeah,
I
of
think
course.
That that's going to be the.
And that's
key
why I just go. Don't try to touch it. Don't try to bring it back.
And it's like, that's the. I feel like the connecting is going to be Boba Fett. Is he in this? Is he him? Is there. Like, do they mention him at all? Like, that's going to be the connective tissue that I feel is going to be the most difficult to navigate.
I miss the Fett, man.
Being See, I think that would be a huge mistake to put Boba in this. Because you're introducing a character that this character is a knockoff on, and you're going to expect us to still like this when we get the original. It's going to be weird. I don't think they're going to put Boba Fett in this at all. They might make mention to him a little bit here and there.
Yeah, what if he trained him or whatever? Are they
I mean,
same,
maybe, but like if Boba Fett
class.
Shows up in this, the little kid in me is going to go, why the fuck am I paying attention to the Mandalorian? What's going on with Boba Fett? Like, Boba Fett's a cool character.
The
way cooler.
Man.
The Fetters. Yeah. We used to call him Boba Fetters. Played tennis.
A question that I had. They were talking.
Good joke.
It's a terrible joke.
when he goes to the Forge lady, she asks him a question.
Who are you?
What was it? Like, do you guys know what I'm talking about at all?
No.
She was like,
Did you miss your emblem or something like that?
Something like that. Like, did your emblem come in or something?
I think it was the thing that she gave him, was that shoulder pad thing that was supposed to be.
But even then, she was like, once she was done, wasn't she like, I'm sure it'll come soon.
I have no idea.
I think there's an
obvious.
I thought she took that credit that he gave her, melted it down, and made the.
She did.
She did.
Yeah, because that credit is a type of metal. That is, I assume.
Yeah, because
it's kind of metal that goes from there being only a little bit of it to a giant shoulder pad.
In the in the very very first scene, they walk up to him and look at his helmet, and he's like, "Is that a whatever helmet or metal that you have on your helmet?"
Yeah,
and it's obvious that like the rest of his suit looks shitty. His helmet super pristine and like really clean looking.
Yeah,
so it's obvious that they're doing something with his armor.
They also like sparked off of it, right? Like,
yeah,
something touched it and it like.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, he like scraped on it, and it like yeah. What I liked was he gets shot in the armor, and for the first time in Star Wars history, the armor actually did its job.
Yeah,
and you're like, thank you.
There
that's
you
nice
go.
To see. Mm. Why wear armor if blasters just go right through it? So that was kind of cool.
Barrett, before we wrap up here, what are your concise thoughts on this?
I loved it. I had a really fun time with it. I went in expecting weird, slow, quiet paced. Cowboy Bebop like show, and that is what I'm getting. That's the vibe I'm getting. I think it's going to be a slow build, and I'm really into that. Comparing it to Cowboy Bebop, of the entire time when the characters come together in that show, it's like even they're kind of friendly to each other, but they're kind of all dicks to each other too, and there isn't this whole camaraderie or anything like that. You aren't supposed to think that they're good people. They are just bounty hunters kind of just surviving in the kind of great galaxy and stuff like that, and that's what I want from this show, and that's exactly what the first episode gave me. Like, yeah, the part that I least liked was the character at the beginning, the blue guy. But I liked the buildup of, like, yeah, fuck, this guy's annoying. I hope the whole episode isn't about him and stuff. And then immediately, like, yeah, you're getting frozen in carbonite. Like, I'm turning you in. This is really, really fucking cool.
Being someone that has watched all of Clone Wars and Rebels, how do you think that, so far, this fares compared to those?
I think it's way too early to really compare it to those, because I think the reason this show doesn't seem to be trying to put itself into the grander story where those shows are. Like, Clone Wars is about Anakin and his Padawan Ahsoka and, like, all that stuff. Rebels is about another Jedi who survived Order 66 and is trying to, like, train other Jedi and the buildup and starting the rebellion and all that stuff. Like, they serve the kind of greater story where this seems to be just a cool, like, small character piece about just this guy from this planet just trying to make a living, and I'm so fucking in for that. I'm really loving it. I'm excited for the rest of the season.
There we go. What's up with Baby Yoda? We'll have to find out in a couple days. Friday, we'll be back with Kinda Funny's Mandalorian in review. Until then, what's the word that you
have
spoken. Greedo?
Huh?
The Greedo word? Manchuca.
Slimo.
Bye.